Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
Hey everyone, this is John Rocha, one third of the Geek Buddies, with this awesome ad for you. If you like this show and you want to make your own, and some of you have reached out and asked us about making your own podcast, well, let me tell you about Anchor. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And now you can even add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes. The possibilities are endless for what you can create, whether it's music analysis, your own radio show, or something the world's never heard before. Go ahead and let your freak flag fly. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and so many more places. And you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Take it from us here at the Geek Buddies. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now, on with the Geek Buddies show. Welcome, everybody, to this very special episode of
The Geek Buddies! Hey!
So much happened here at D23 over the weekend. I thought we should record a special episode for this. So this is John Rocha.
This is Shannon McClung, and as you all know, as we talked about, Michael Vogel is actually en route to the desert right now.
He is.
For a week full of funsies in his undies.
Yes. And let's listen to Mike now send a special message out to everybody.
Hey, guys. It's Michael. I just wanted to leave you guys a message. As you guys are listening to this, I am wrapping up a week in the desert out at Burning Man. But I didn't want to go an entire week without talking to you. So I just wanted to say hello. I'm really excited about coming back, probably a little burned. A little exhausted, and I want to tell you all the geeky things that I found in the desert. I'm actually bound and determined this year to make some geeky things happen and have some real geek moments. If this drops on Friday, when we usually do, we're getting ready to have our Disney dance party, which is our big party this year for my camp. So I think that's going to be real, real geeky. So full report, and I will see you guys, or at least you'll hear my voice, in about a week.
Well, there you go. As always, classic Vogel with those words and the way he presented everything. And we were horsing around in the background, of course.
Indeed. Indeed. That picture was up on Instagram.
Yeah. We're terrible people. But we knew to fill Mike Vogel's shoes, and that's not an easy thing to do, we knew we had to bring a heavy hitter onto the show as well.
Someone very special.
Exactly. The special one, he's been called by many people in the Schmodown. He is now currently... As by the time you listen to this, because it's been over 72 hours, you can talk about it, right? No, you're not sure? All right. He is currently Mikey One Belt, and he might be Mikey Two Belts by the time you listen to this. And if he has his way, he could be Mikey Three Belts by the end of the year. Mike K.O. Kalinowski.
What an intro. Hello, fellas. I don't know if we can – I don't know. I think it's like a week.
Is it a week? Is it a week ban? All right.
They're all like, you know, Christian keeps pushing it back. It's going to be 2 weeks. It's 1 week.
That's fair
but then,
enough.
People on Twitter already talked about
they
it.
They are.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm one belt right now.
That's cool. It's fair enough.
Do that. Yeah.
Leave it at that.
Man, I got big shoes to fill. But he's out at that playa, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah. His name, and he's getting dusty.
Black Rock City, I believe it is
that's
called.
That's his name?
Yeah. No, Black Rock City is
where it's at.
That's where it is.
That's fitting. Black Rock City.
That'd be a good playa name. Black Rock City.
Black Rock City.
Whitest dude I ever seen. Black Rock City. but...
Mike was very buddy. Kind to come on to the show
anytime,
last
anytime.
Minute. I asked him if he was possible. Shannon was down to do it as well because we want to talk about all the nerdy geekdom stuff before it kind of flitters away from our excitement.
Yeah.
And so much happened yesterday and stuff is dropping today. So we're recording this on a Saturday. So much stuff is dropping today, which we'll get to a little bit later. But I think we need to start at The Mandalorian. That seems to be the number one thing to start at. And this is not going to be the normal kind of show that we do where we do the geek news items and then jump into a larger conversation. We're just going to talk about everything.
It's Thunderdome. It's a free-for-all.
Exactly.
We're going for it.
Get in, everybody.
You know,
get
it's funny
just
seeing what happened and how it's – this feels what's happened the past 2 days, what Comic-Con used to be, where it was like every minute things are dropping and dropping and dropping and you can't keep up on social media. And it's like I've missed that the past couple of years at Comic-Con. So this is – it's interesting what Disney's doing here.
Certainly was a lot of surprises with Moon Knight, with Ms. Marvel, with She-Hulk, all this that we're going to get to.
I mean, not a whole lot of chatter leading up to this.
Yes.
I mean, from my point of view,
this stuff
came out of the blue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ms. Marvel had certainly been mentioned by Feige months ago around the Captain Marvel time.
Yeah.
But you kind of assumed she was going to be in the sequel, though.
Exactly. You assumed that they weren't going to put it into the series. But all of this now, because Feige has said that all these TV shows are going to be canon and related to the movies, it's insane how now wider the net becomes and the universe becomes by including these TV shows and these movies and connecting them. The canon starts to become near Star Wars level canon.
Yeah. Right? And it would seem like – I mean, I know we already said we were going to talk about The Mandalorian. We've already jumped over to Marvel. But it seems like, you know, a lot of these shows, they're probably not going to be a season two of these shows. Like, these are limited series that – because you're telling one big story right now. Mm-hmm. So you could have a She-Hulk series, and then suddenly she's popping up all over the MCU. You're not necessarily going to have a She-Hulk season two.
Right. Yeah. And it's kind of an interesting way, don't you think, Mike, of introducing new Avengers that don't have to necessarily be on the screen on film.
You know, we look back to Comic-Con and the announcement of the Phase 4, and we was like, oh, it's only 2 years, and this is kind of – but now this just opened it up even more. It's like they knew what they were doing. Of course they knew these things were happening. What was it, less than a month ago? They knew She-Hulk, Moon Knight, Ms. Marvel. This was going.
Of course.
But they're like – they were smart. They didn't drop it all down there, and it just opened up even wider now.
Yeah.
It's like, man, they – it's insane. It caught you off guard, and I love that. We talked a little bit. You're online right now. Yeah. You're like, save stuff for the fans. You know, don't try and break stuff. No one broke this.
And look at the reaction. Yeah.
Even us that are in this industry that we know this stuff.
Yeah.
We live and breathe it. We're like, oh, my God. You know, you and I have been talking Moon Knight forever.
Yes.
Like, finally. And they've always said, like, we got a lot of characters in our bag. We got a lot of them. We might get to them.
And boom.
There it is.
Yeah. And you know what's great about it too is like that's the argument that seems to be popping up now. Well, and we'll get to that certainly in related to The Mandalorian and Star Wars, like this idea. Well, if you keep it quiet, keep it under wraps, then everybody can get surprised at the same time. Yeah. There's a kind of communal experience across social media, across people who are there. It feels like you're almost in the room with them celebrating this situation. So you're obviously not experiencing the actual panel, but you certainly are experiencing the news together.
Right.
And I think that's a positive. Anyway, let's jump in. We'll have more of that in just a little bit, but let's jump into Mandalorian. This, what is it, a minute 40-second trailer?
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. I said this on Twitter. This is the Star Wars I have been waiting for.
I read
for.
That. Yeah.
It's the Star Wars that it seems like grown-ups have been waiting for.
This, to me, kind of piggybacking what you said, this feels what we were promised with Rogue One.
Yeah,
Something different.
Exactly.
Like gritty, dirty.
Mm-hmm.
Adult. Not, I don't say adult because that's a bad thing to use with Star Wars, but it just felt different.
Certainly more mature in the aspect that things are more gray.
And I mean, you know, Werner Herzog in there. It's like, holy Giancarlo Stanton. It's like, you're like these.
Esposito.
Esposito. Oh, I'm pulling a Bateman. Yeah. Like those. I wasn't sure about whose voice is this. And then when Herzog showed up, I was like, oh my God. So to see these actors and just like this gravitas they even just bring to it, it just changes it.
Well, and just from the aesthetics, like this is the most cinematic looking television show I think we've ever seen.
And I know I'm going to go to MCU real quick with this because I was worried with the MCU TV shows. I was like, and they're tying to the films. It's like there's always a disconnect between TV shows and movies.
Yeah.
But watching The Mandalorian, I was like, nope, I'm going to put my foot in my mouth because if they do their MCU like The Mandalorian, it looks cinematic and it'll blend perfectly.
Certainly.
It's cinematic. You hit it right there. It looked like a movie.
And it looks like sort of the return of those shock troopers that from Rogue One.
Were they death troopers?
Death
troopers,
I mean, everything about that trailer, I mean, watching IG-88, I mean, and like that clip kind of leaked out from before.
IG-88 was great.
But watching Pedro Pascal basically on that big, you know, giant Gatlin blaster, you know, just wasting guys as IG-88s, you know, shooting every which way. It's just so exciting. And I think the grayness is something that, as you said, John, is something they've never fully leaned into before.
They've been afraid to.
They sort of did it with Han Solo in the first movie.
Yeah.
But ever since, I was like, well, he's our hero. We got to make him a good guy. Like, you can tell this guy is like, he's not a good guy.
Yeah.
He's an anti-hero.
Right. Right. And I love it because it's got – someone said it's got that Western vibe to it.
Yeah.
And it also has a samurai vibe to it, right? A Ronin type vibe to it.
Yeah, he's got the cape on his suit. And it's like – I think watching this, did you guys get that feeling? It's like, oh, this is what we wanted Boba Fett to be.
Yes. Absolutely.
Like when he shoots the rope at the guy's thing and he's pulling him back in and he's it's like that's what we thought of. But there was still the mystery to it.
Yeah.
I don't think we ever saw him without his helmet.
No. Mm-mm. No.
No, he didn't speak.
Yeah. Right. He didn't speak.
Man.
And that's what I find so great about this is that – I think this might be some of the stuff that they were working on if there was going to be a Boba Fett, a Star Wars story. Yeah. They might have like weaved it into the Mandalorian here and made it all kind of come together in this way. And Favreau, I mean, this, if you had any questions or doubts or anything like this, you look at this, you go, yeah, they picked the right director. He understands the material. Yeah. He knows how to make it come to life in a new and interesting and vibrant way. And he echoes back to the origins of Star Wars, which was influenced by Kurosawa's samurai films, which George Lucas has said. So this is a samurai, this is a Ronin, this is Yojimbo out there as a Mandalorian. And I love what you mentioned, Werner Herzog. I love what he said. Bounty hunting is a strange business. All the things he says, like you're just like, yeah, oh, you get it. This is these are the characters that we are in for in this world, and I couldn't be more excited.
But to push back slightly on the Favreau, because this is the guy who made Iron Man, this is the guy who made Elf, this is the guy who made Jungle Book, this is also the guy who made Lion King.
Right, right.
That a lot of people are like, well, this is also the guy who made Cowboys and Aliens, because the trailers for Cowboys and Aliens, those trailers were great.
True.
The movie just left something lacking. Like, I do think normally the Disney aspect would make me feel good. I'm like, I don't know. They were championing the Lion King.
Yeah.
Hopefully we get Iron Man, Jon Favreau.
Yeah.
And the looks of it, it seems like that's what we got.
I do think that's fair. But you have to be honest and be more well-rounded about how you approach these things. So you got to look at the hits and the misses with the John. But I know for me, I'm excited about it. That's what you want, right? The stormtroopers' heads on pikes. Whoever thought we'd see that visual on right screen?
And that was like the first visual.
Yeah.
I think to your point on that, you look at – we've talked about this before with Martin Campbell.
Yeah.
Casino Royale, GoldenEye, two of the best Bond films of all time, then did Green Lantern.
Right.
But he also did Mask of Zorro. So I think if the director –
but then he followed up with the Legend of Zorro.
Yeah, so it's just like, well, Iron Man was his thing he wanted. Star Wars, he's always talked about a love for Star Wars. And Jungle Book was wonderful, but maybe Disney was like, hey, we want you to do Lion King. He's like, I don't got any connection to this material.
Yeah.
Let's – you know, maybe he's a filmmaker. I think if he loves the material, it shines through.
What do you guys want to see from this? Like, what would excite you to see in The Mandalorian?
The thing that he actually said in an interview, because I guess someone had said, is Boba Fett going to be in this? Like, no, Boba Fett is not in this. They're like, this is new characters. Outside of probably IG-88, I think we might get some glimpses of past bounty hunters. But I love the fact that they're populating it with new people.
Yep.
Especially since it's already been – you know, they're already working on season two. Like, let's create some new characters. Let's see what else the universe has to offer.
Yeah, that two things. That moment with the cryogenic, the
carbonite, all
carbonite.
The way,
right, awesome. The carbonite stuff was great.
Yeah, it looked great.
And the girl who's the species from the singing
Twi'lek
from Jabba. That you see that there in that moment too. So there's enough shades of the past that isn't overwhelming the new stuff you're bringing in, and that's exciting.
The thing that I loved about that very quick shot of Giancarlo Esposito was he's clearly some sort of imperial representative, and he's nervous.
Yes,
I mean they're living in a world where they are no longer the top dog. So it's going to be interesting to see how they react in this world.
Right.
For me, seeing this, I know I'm maybe on the minority on her. I love Gina Carano.
Right.
I love her.
I got a crush on her, but I don't necessarily think she's a great actress.
I loved her in Haywire.
Yeah, she's great in Haywire.
And Soderbergh know what to do with her. She was not originally an actress. She's not an actress. But I remember her saying with Favreau that she did this great interview. It's out there online where they said about she just brought stuff out in her that like he's a director.
Yeah.
You know, some actresses, we look at Gal Gadot. Patty Jenkins, what she brought out of her. You need that. And I think John he's an actor first, so he knows how to work these people. I think we're going to get great stuff out of her. I cannot wait to see her.
I think you make a great point. And she said that. She did say that. You know, the thing with Haywire is that, you know, her entire dialogue was overdubbed.
Yeah.
So she had to bounce back from that, right? Because that was Laura Sangiacomo doing her voice in Haywire. But look, Andy McDowell bounced back from that with Glenn Close doing her voice in Greystoke, Legend of Tarzan. That's not her voice. That's Glenn Close.
Oh, wow.
The entire movie. Oh, wow. Right. She just recently talked about it on a podcast for Yahoo Movies. And she said it was a very difficult time after that because the director just did not believe. Huh. And that was Hugh Hudson, just did not believe that she could bring what needed – it just couldn't get the accent right. So they brought in someone else to dub it over, but the industry heard about it, and she had to fight over that to get to where she wanted.
Wow.
To get to. So Gina may be in the same boat here, trying to prove herself. And if she got something unlocked here with Favreau, that's to the benefit of all of us, because that's a badass woman on screen, and she's beautiful to look at. And if you throw in acting talent as well, then we got ourselves a nice actor to watch going forward in the future in different projects.
Yeah, to that Gal Gadot point, I mean, we haven't seen her since Wonder Woman, Justice League to a degree, but I mean, we haven't seen her.
Right.
She hasn't broken out in anything since then. I mean, she was a voice in that Wreck-It Ralph sequel, and I didn't know it was her right away, but I just knew I didn't like the voice.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't like this performance. This person, there's nothing. It's hollow. And so when you get those pairings, like you get Cameron and Schwarzenegger, he brings something out of him. The guy who directed Pitch Black, is it Toey?
David Toey.
Him and Vin Diesel. Like he gets performances out of Vin Diesel that Vin Diesel can't deliver on his own, in my opinion.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, certain actors, they need to be directed.
Yeah,
100%.
I think we're in good hands with that. I'm excited. I'm excited to see this. I'm excited to see her to really break out and hopefully be a great part of this show.
Absolutely. And let's move on to Kenobi. So we'll see what happens. I'm sure there's going to be more, but November 12th is literally around the corner.
I can't – I thought about
that. It's mind-blowing.
Because I'm like – it's not available to buy right now, is it?
No.
Disney Plus.
Not yet.
Yeah, so I'm like, but this stuff's coming.
It is. It's all coming.
I just looked. It's almost the end of August already. It's like, this is here.
Yeah.
Have you guys looked at the offerings? Like I have Hulu right now.
Yeah.
And I get HBO and Showtime through Hulu. And like, well, if you already have Hulu, it's going to be this much. But if you don't have Hulu, you can do this bundle for this much. So I'm like trying to do these beautiful mind type of calculations in my head.
So
I'm like, all right, what is the best way to
do with Hulu?
It's an extra little bump if you want to get Disney Plus.
It'll be
Hulu owned as part of Disney.
Yeah.
Disney has a controlling stake in
Fox because they bought Fox.
Okay.
So the bundle I saw, which interested me, was Hulu, Disney Plus, and ESPN Plus for $13.99 a month or $12.99 a month.
Phenomenal.
And I'm like, this is literally so much content. You throw in Netflix for a little bit more. And, my girlfriend's British apps that I pay for on Roku, she has those. And then we're set. We're pretty much set. So that's the thing that at the end of the day that I'm excited for Disney. I'm happy to pay the $70 or $80 up front for a whole year.
100%.
Just for the amount of content you're going to get from the TV shows that they announced, you know. So
it's all going to be what you want, you know.
Yeah.
I wish WB would come up with their bundle, what they're doing. Because everyone's on the DC Universe, they're like, if they're not committed to it, they haven't done it yet because they want to see what WB is doing.
Right, right.
DC Universe for me is the content on the comics is alone.
Yeah.
So it's what you want, Eamon, but, seeing what – it's a no-brainer.
Yeah. Well, you want competition.
It's a no-brainer for Disney Plus.
Exactly.
To buy that. I'm not even – you guys know me. I'm not a Disney guy. I will not be – I'm not big on the animated stuff, but I'm like – just on two shows alone, even on Mandalorian alone, it's worth buying. It's worth it.
It's a great point, Mike. And you hope WB and DC step up to the plate. Maybe this is motivation
for them to figure something out.
Yeah, yeah. Because the CBS Viacom thing is going to lead to a lot of content as well. I was speaking to Inman, and Inman kind of intimated that they're looking to make CBS All Access the Star Trek destination so that you never cancel it. So you're constantly having one Star Trek show after another, and you got to keep going.
Well, they got two or three in the pike. But they do. They got more shows coming.
Exactly.
So.
There'll be more.
Yeah.
And so they want to be a destination for that. So there's going to be great competition.
The streaming wars.
Yeah, that's basically. It's going to be expensive. It's going to cost as much as cable.
We're going to be back where we were.
Yeah.
$150 a month.
Madness. All right, let's touch on Kenobi. This was finally dropped officially by Kathleen Kennedy. Ewan McGregor came out, he had her ask him if he's going to come back to play Kenobi, and he said – yes, officially, finally, because he's probably been asked that for years,
right?
Since the end of the episode, so finally he can say yes.
And it almost seemed like after kind of Solo disappointed, and they canceled the Star Wars saga films, or whatever those were going to be called, that there went Kenobi.
Yep.
Kenobi was gone.
Yeah, they had said they canceled Kenobi because of the Solo reception.
Yeah.
But like you said earlier with the Boba Fett movie, we might be getting some shades of that in Mandalorian. Oh, sure. You imagine like whatever they had planned for that Obi-Wan spinoff, we're going to get some of that now in the series. And we're going to get it probably better because they're going to be able to take their time and really flush that world out.
Do you guys feel it was a missed opportunity? And this is so petty where Ewan McGregor comes out on stage and he's like, "Hello there." Like, because that's like the thing. I was like, "Oh, why didn't he do it? Why didn't he do it? They would have erupted." Because everyone, now their memes are for that. It's like, "Hello there. Hello there. Hello there."
Like, but do you see him being an older Kenobi? Like an old, are they going to age him?
Do you guys
to come close?
Like, look at Sideshow stuff?
Sometimes.
They did that Hot Toys figure. It's like a younger Alec Guinness, but there's also shades of Ewan McGregor in the figure, and he's got like some stormtrooper armor over his Jedi robes.
Wow.
Oh, so like the Clone War, like his Clone War costume.
Yeah, and it looks so damn good. And you're just like, but someone made a great point. One of our friends, like, I want to say it was Lon Harris online, and he was saying, he's like, be careful, because in about, I think about 12 or 15 years, he will be the age that Alec Guinness was when he did New Hope. And he's like, Disney loves to remake their stuff. Don't be surprised you get a New Hope remade in about 15, 20 years with him. And I just like, I laughed, but I was like, he's not wrong.
Yeah.
He's not wrong.
Shit.
So, but you look at how young he still looks compared to Alec Guinness. You're just like, but wow. I mean, come on. Of all the prequels, and I've watched those ad nauseum over the past year.
I'm sure you have, inner geekdom champ.
And how I've kind of come back on it. Phantom Menace is my favorite of the three of them.
Wow.
Yeah. I would agree with you.
Yeah. It really, watching them now, stepping back, and you're just like, oh, Phantom Menace, aside from the boring trade stuff, but you can't argue Ewan McGregor and that he's the. If you said let's pick one thing you can keep, it's him.
Yeah,
he's so damn good. Channeling, he did what we needed to do with Alden Ehrenreich, but didn't. We wanted him to channel Harrison Ford, but not copy him.
Yeah,
and he you were like, oh, it's young Alec Guinness right there. I remember making it his own.
I remember one of the first Jedi councils I was asked to be on with Mark and Christian. Years ago, it was they had a special segment where like you could come in and like what do you want to pitch, and I sat there for 4 minutes and pitched a Kenobi series because like that's what everybody wants, and you get into when you're in a fandom, you get into this universal mind within the fandom of something that everyone seems to want, right? And so Kenobi is the thing, and because it was the best part of the prequels in a lot of people's minds. And McGregor's such a great actor. So to go back to this time, this is like Jesus' lost years. Like nobody knows what happened.
You know where he was. You know what's going on.
From till he wandered into the desert, and we didn't see him till he was 33 again. And so it was like, okay, these lost years.
Yeah.
And Kenobi's kind of like that. He wandered into the desert after the stuff with Qui-Gon and Darth, after the stuff with Anakin. He goes off into the desert. He is now in charge of Luke and watching over Luke from a distance.
Yeah.
Okay, what are we going to get? Are we going to get that? How much of a young Luke is going to be a part of it? Because that's the next big casting thing.
I'm really crossing my fingers that Joel Edgerton comes back.
I was just going to say that.
Owen,
just
right.
Say that.
That they're going to have some sort of arc where the two of them have to go out on some adventure. And that's when he says, he's not going with you.
Yeah.
He's not doing this.
That's fair.
And also, could it be that we get Liam Neeson?
Yeah.
Because that's what Yoda said. He's like, Qui-Gon, you can learn to communicate with him. Are we going to get them kind of having
Force Ghost
stuff?
Yeah.
All of the missed opportunities of the prequels they can address now with this series.
Here's the big question. Do you get Vader? Do you get Anakin and him having a confrontation? Because he said, the last time we met, you were the master. I was the student. Yeah. Now it's changed. It could still mean that he comes down to face Kenobi and Kenobi still beats him in the series. And so that when they show up at New Hope, he feels more confident because he's figured out how to beat Kenobi.
I mean, or is it, you know, knowing that they never found a body with Kenobi and Vader knows he's out there.
Yeah.
And in that time, that was Vader hunting down the Jedi throughout the galaxy.
Yeah.
I mean, so that could be a cool storyline. Vader comes to Tatooine and you get to see sort of him remembering his childhood at the same time as he's looking. Yeah. Can you imagine the visual of that black cape in those white sand dunes?
He's going to keep his Jedi, you know, not going to do it. He can't.
Right.
Because once that gets out there, word gets out, the Jedis are out there.
He's not Obi-Wan. He's Ben in this.
Right.
Yeah,
he's Kenobi.
It's interesting.
Do you think they'll cop out and have a scene where young Luke is watching Anakin fight Kenobi, But Luke gets involved somehow, hits his head, and forgets the memory or whatever.
You run into Chuchi is like, I don't seem to remember owning a droid. It's like, hey, you come on. That whole stuff. You're like, well.
From a certain point of view.
Yeah, right. From a certain point of view.
Because he can't see Vader and then be surprised by seeing Vader later, right? Yeah. He'd have to, like, forget that he'd seen Vader.
Yeah, so
as a young child, possibly, you know, because you forget things when you're a kid.
You'll probably get Mos Eisley in there.
What about
Ahsoka? It's a big planet, so we'll see.
What about Ahsoka?
Filoni, didn't he say something at the panel? Hmm. Someone said something. I was reading a tweet about it. Something about, will she show up in live action? And his response, I didn't read it, but it was something it's going to happen.
Yeah.
It was like.
He's very possessive of that character because he created that character. So he wants to make sure
it's love of that character.
Yeah, yeah, very true.
And at Star Wars Celebration a couple of years ago, the one that was in Orlando that I went to with my nephew, for the Rebels panel, like he did have that T-shirt that said Ahsoka Lives with a question mark. And then they showed a clip and the lights came back up and it said Ahsoka Lives with an exclamation point.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's not to say that it's necessarily going to translate to live action, but God, that would be awesome if it did.
Yeah. There's a lot here with Kenobi. I mean, Bail Organa's in play. Yep. So Leia is in play. Mm-hmm. That's a possibility as well. Like, what does she mean, your only hope? How much interaction does she have with him? That kind of stuff can play into it as well. So there's a lot here because she's obviously more active than Luke. Luke's just, you know, farting around on the planet getting moisture farming. Yeah. And you have Leia's out there trying to lead a revolution, being trained to run a revolution, being a princess, be doing all those kinds of stuff. So
That's true.
They'd have to intersect.
18 years, we're saying it's an 18-year gap. And where are we going to put this?
I would imagine.
Years?
I thought I had read that it takes place at like 3 years before A New Hope.
Well,
okay, so Luke's like 15.
But
they got to age him up then.
Oh yeah, I think they're definitely going to age him.
It's got to be
because he still has a baby.
Yeah.
He still has a baby face.
Now we see those pictures of Evans with old man Steve, where they did put makeup on him and they just did the tracking dots and just kind of aged it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think if they're smart, they'll do something like that with him.
Yeah,
gray his hair a little bit more.
But it's not like Alec Guinness looked ancient in A New Hope.
He was old, but
he didn't look like Chris Evans at the end of it.
No, certainly not.
And one thing I didn't know, did you guys ever realize that Alec Guinness had a toupe?
A toupee?
Yeah.
What?
No.
I found that out because Ewan McGregor was talking about it. He's like, if you go back and watch, it changes the hairline. Go watch it now. And you're like, oh, my God, it does.
I just thought that was the 70s.
It was so good. You're like, hey, got a shag haircut. He looks good. But now you got to wear a toupe. I found that out like 2 years ago, and I was dumbfounded after that. I was like, because Ewan McGregor was talking about it in an interview.
He's like,
you watch it. And he's like, it changes position throughout the movie. And I'm like, it does.
All these guys. Shatner has a toupee as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brendan Fraser, all these guys. They got toupees.
Good back then. I was like, hey, about me.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, great. Yeah.
Ted Danza looks like Dan Morrow without his hat on. That's Ted. Ted's
does he?
He's got it. Ted's been a toupee since the 90s, early 90s.
What?
Yeah, he started receding like while they were doing Cheers. So, yeah.
Crap.
Yeah, it's insane.
He's smart. He leans into the gray.
He looks good. He's distinguished. All right, anything more? We should talk about the stuff that dropped today. That Star Wars poster for Rise of the Skywalker.
Was it footage? They said I think someone said footage.
There was footage?
I think because I was at the gas station on the way here. I'm tweeting, like, looking through tweets for this.
Oh, maybe there is.
And I think it's going to come online. They said Monday.
Ooh.
There was footage, they said.
Okay.
Really?
But I don't think you're allowed your phones in the hall. They took them this morning from everyone.
Well, yeah, because they didn't have, like, normally, like, the Hall H presentations, how people will record them and they stop when the footage comes on. Like, none of that video.
Someone said,
has
I think, like, I think Christian's there. I think Dorian's there. Wendy might be there.
Wendy is there.
People that I'm following that are constantly tweeting out. Halavik's there. And they, I think they said, okay, phone's going away, guys. But I think people might have computers.
Okay, this is from IGN. An hour ago, new Star Wars Rise of Skywalker footage shows Rey in a Sith robe with a dual-bladed red lightsaber.
Wow.
Humming on that one. Give the dual.
So what does that mean? Rey is dressed all black with a hood and a double-sided red lightsaber.
You know,
is this the switch?
We got to say this because thinking about this, you know, Jedi, we see, and I love – I'm one in the minority that I love Force Awakens.
Yeah.
I love it for all that it does, and everyone that I know it's a remake of New Hope. I don't care. It reignited Star Wars for me. Love Rogue One.
Yeah.
Jedi, a different film. It's a different film for me, and it doesn't work for me as a Star Wars film.
I think we're all on the level.
Yeah. but not to see Abrams come back. He did. We always joke about that. He did the map. He's like, okay, and I'm out. And then Rian Johnson's like, well, I don't want this map. I'm making my own film. And now Abrams' like, I gave you the –
I gave you all the secrets.
That is where.
Now I gotta redo this?
That is where, like, even though I thought that poster was really cool, that's where my reticence for episode 9 comes in.
I'm glad you said that.
I don't know how you undo what was undone. You know what I mean?
You know, it's funny because people are online and there's a lot of – it's kind of backlash happens fast because everyone's like, oh, this is so much fan service now. The picture, the emperor, all this. And I was like, well, you guys blew gaskets because of Ryan Johnson not giving you what you wanted. J.J. Abrams is now wanting – giving you back what you wanted.
Yeah, but you even said it's not really your movie. Are you
– right.
Was it not your movie because you didn't get what you wanted or because what you wanted was not executed well?
It didn't seem like Star Wars to me, and I know that's a weird thing to say coming off of Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt like – it felt very stagnant because it's the slow-moving ship. I felt like we'd seen that in Battlestar Galactica. There was that one episode where they had to jump every – 33 minutes or something because they're being chased by the Cylons.
Oh, no, I agree with you. I wouldn't even say that it didn't feel like Star Wars. I mean, because there were some very Star Wars feeling moments.
I just didn't
moments.
Like everything with Luke.
I didn't like the stuff with Luke. I didn't like the whole idea that they have this giant chase. And I'm like,
and you brought in new things like the whole Rey seeing, like, talking to him and being pulled into them. It's like, we had never seen this in Star Wars. And now it was weird because you're introducing new things. 9-10 films into the series of we have established stuff of what the Force does and what happens.
See, that I didn't mind. I thought that was a neat concept. But when it was revealed, it was all kind of ruined with Snoke. Like, as soon as you knocked him off, I'm like,
that's what I'm saying.
What was the point of this?
Yeah, it was the whole point of this.
So to see JJ come back and everything we've seen so far. But I'm with you. I'm like, everyone's blown a gasket about this. I'm like, let's pump the brakes. Now we need to go with tepid optimism, I should say. Like, I want it to be good. I want it to be back on track, but let's see what happens.
Yeah.
There's a lot to, I don't say fix, but because now I hear the
adjust.
The Knights of Ren are in this.
There's a lot to tie up.
Yeah, that's
and
for
now,
sure.
Yeah, I mean, are we going to get the, like, well, Rey's a Skywalker?
Yeah.
It's like, is it going to be that simple? Or is she going to go back to the whole, hey, you're nothing?
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know.
That's going to play itself out for sure.
Yeah,
here's Brandon Davis's breakdown of the new footage.
Okay.
A special look back at Star Wars placed to conclude the presentation includes all of the previous films. We've passed on all we know. The thousands of generations live in you now, but this is your fight. It culminates with footage from the new movie. The group overlooks a small village, an army of ships in spaces. Rey cuts through the trees. Kylo emerges from a ship. Rey and Kylo fight surrounded by water. Palpatine narrates, it nears its end. Rey is wearing a black robe. Her red lightsaber splits in two, dual wielding it like Darth Maul. So there's speculation here that she is going to be trained by previous Jedi masters to take on Palpatine, who is maybe in charge of Kylo.
What Jedi masters, though?
It would be – what do they have? It would be Anakin, Luke, Qui-Gon Jinn, Yoda, and possibly even Darth Maul. Remember, Maul had a grudge against Palpatine that played out in
Clone
Wars.
So all those guys would be in this?
This is a Force Ghost training?
Might be. Is that going too far for you, Shannon?
That's a lot to take in this moment.
What if it's an 80s montage and you're the best around? Is that possible?
If she runs up a mountain and goes, Kylo!
I'm down.
Yeah, I don't know. Let me ask you guys this because there's a lot of talk. Do you think he even deserves it? Or can they redeem Kylo?
I don't want it.
You cannot redeem that.
I don't think
you cannot.
Once you kill your dad,
you can't Vader him.
That's pretty far to go.
And you can't say two movies later. It can't be a Snape thing. It can't be like, well, this is what I had to do. No.
Oh my God! If they do that, I'll go insane.
That was a bad guy move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. He cannot be redeemed.
No. And he shouldn't be, which is why I like the new poster, because it looks like it shows a battle and what looks like on top of the Falcon with Palpatine looking over them. I like that because that used to be the Vader position,
but then
above looking down.
How does Palpatine back?
I
saw this back when I heard the laugh in the trailer. I was like, how is he back?
Apparently he narrates the new footage too. So it's the thing is that they're saying is that because he learned from – I think it was –
Was it Darth Plagueis?
Darth Plagueis, how to attach himself
when he talks about
to a thing.
Exactly. He talks about in Revenge of the Sith, bring back the dead and learn to cheat death. Okay.
Right. And he may have attached himself to the helmet. And the helmet is what's been –
Oh, and he reseals it back.
When he reseals it back is when he gets back dialed into what's happening. So – Who knows? Who knows?
I do not go down those rabbit holes, spoilers for Star Wars. Those are rabbit holes. You have never come back.
They're very deep, deep rabbit. And they have like – you can get so lost that you can't find your way back. That's
come back
those
with a Gal Guinness with a toupee on.
That's right.
The toupe.
The toupe. All right. Let's move on to these Marvel TV shows. Yes. Let's jump into this stuff. Falcon and Winter Soldier. There was some more stuff announced for that. There was more stuff announced for WandaVision in terms of casting and what they want the style of the show to be. There was also a massive announcement of a Moon Knight show, a She-Hulk show, and a Ms. Marvel show all being a part of this. And What If was also shown a little bit of footage that leaked out, this picture of Haley Atwell's Peggy Carter as Captain Carter, a.k.a. Captain Britain, a.k.a. Captain America. So that's fascinating.
Yeah, I love – because I thought that he was like, oh, she'd be Captain America. But it's like, no, she's British. She'll be Captain Britain.
She
like,
would be.
That was so – you don't think about it. And then the picture comes like that. They know what they're doing.
Yep.
She's Captain Britain.
Yep. Yep, she had the serum as well.
Yeah.
But what's the one you want to talk about, Mike?
Winter Soldier.
Okay, let's get into it.
This of all the shows, this is what – because like we talk about, like I like that grounded stuff. Like for me, I guess now I could say it, Winter Soldier is still my favorite Marvel film.
Yeah.
I love that film so much. And I love – this seems right in that vein. The you know, what is it, 7 Days of the Condor?
Yeah.
You know, those spy thrillers,
right,
the Robert
days,
Redford.
3 Days of the Condor. Right, the Iger Sanction, all that stuff from the
70s. Perfect. So it's like – and this they added Wyatt Russell as John Walker, who's U.S. agent, which I think is awesome. I have a feeling – and there's talk, and I don't know if they announced this at the panel, that he's kind of like the Republican version of Captain America.
Yeah.
Like they got the poster child. And I looked at this. I've never heard of this actor, but I guess his big thing is Overlord.
Yeah,
they
Wyatt
just
Russell.
Did.
Yep.
Oh, you never heard of Wyatt Russell?
I didn't know him. I don't
know. Oh, okay. Yeah, he's really good. He was in the 22 Jump Street.
Yes.
He's really, really good. And he's been in this AMC show called Lodge 49. He's a good actor.
But seeing him, I was like, oh, he's the idealistic. He's kind of like a Chris Evans blonde-haired guy, but some slightly a little too
– You're right.
You know, right wing of Captain America. And I was like, but when they said the Republic, he's like their Republican version of the Captain America. And I was like,
well, and if this
and he's
falls
gonna be
in
hunting
line,
them down, and you've got a black Captain America.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is it falls in
I
line with them saying
it.
They don't want Sam Wilson to be Captain America.
I love
right.
it. And I've gone on record. I've said I was very upset that Bucky didn't get the shield.
Yeah.
And I know they've said online the writers like, well, he's killed X amount of people. Yeah. Like, but for me, it was a story of redemption. He's like, but Bucky probably wouldn't take that. She's like, no, I don't deserve it yet. You, Captain America, I don't deserve it. I'll get there someday.
Yeah, and I think that's why they had that shot where he did the nod to Sam. And there was no hesitation. He didn't go like, ugh.
Yeah, no,
okay,
I begrudgingly take will take my point as like for better story.
Yeah.
Cap Falcon, Falcon Cap, there's a great story he did recently where he was against – there's some stuff with – they did – I think they're called the Sons of Serpent, which are basically like our modern-day militia and stuff. And they did border stuff with the crossing. And I was
wow.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
This is a black Captain America now, but now U.S. agent – white guy, like I was like, it is going to be awesome. And I hope they kind of push that.
And if they're smart, they make it so that people who could think the way U.S. agent does kind of feel U.S. agent is right.
Yeah, you don't make him a villain. He's not like
– not a straight up villain.
Straight villain. You're like, you see his point of view. And that's the best villains where you're like, I see points.
The darker side of America. Right?
Yeah.
It's like what happens with in Black Panther with Killmonger and Black Panther. It's like this darker side of it. You see logic. Even with Thanos.
Killmonger.
You can see logic with Thanos.
You're not –
Yeah,
well, and when Civil War came out, even John, you were Team Iron Man.
Yeah, I was.
Were you?
Oh, absolutely.
What?
Absolutely. Yeah, because I was
I love these talks. I love this stuff.
Because I was like, how can you say it's okay to sacrifice everybody else just because you have a personal connection to this man?
Okay.
If you're Captain America, then you're Captain America, not Captain Best Friend. You're Captain America, which means for the greater good. For the greater good.
So for me, this TV show is – and then we got Emily Van Camp coming back as Sharon Carter.
Are you excited about this?
Yes, because Steve Rogers is not in it.
Right.
And that felt so forced in the movies. And I think everyone felt that.
It was icky.
And I think the Russo's like, that's why we're not bringing this character. But on her own, she was really good. Like, she worked well in the scenes. I think she works much better with the two of these guys. You do a nice little, like I don't want to say like a Three's Company vibe, but you've got that triangle dynamic now you've got going on there. I don't think there's going to be romantically involved in there.
Yeah, I don't think they should. Either. No.
But I think it brings a nice, and she's probably be like a government liaison with them.
Mm-hmm.
Where did she end the film at Civil War? Was she?
She gave them, well, she's in the CIA.
And Winter Soldier, she went CIA, and then she was CIA in Civil War. That's right. So she's CIA. Yeah. So she'll probably be the liaison.
Yeah.
Because in the comics, she's so good right now. Mm-hmm. And I forgot what happened with her. The serum wore off. Oh, no, Peggy Carter was. No, Sharon Carter, like, aged for some reason recently in the comics really well.
Okay.
And she's got a great dynamic. So yeah. I have no problem with the casting. I just thought the Cap, it just felt weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
But because you knew he was meant for Peggy.
Right.
And have you guys heard that recently where Peggy, and it's in Winter Soldier, where she's like, you know, Steve saved my husband's life. And it's like the husband was Steve.
Yeah.
Which talks about having the family. And you go back and I rewatch it and it's like, it fits.
Yep.
It works. I don't know 100% if they knew that back then.
No, I'm sure
but
they didn't.
It works.
See,
now.
I don't think it works.
No?
Because when he's in that scene with her in the nursing home and she's so upset.
She's got dementia at this point. She's not there.
Okay.
She forgets her for a second. She's like, what's going on?
You're doing some twisting right now because she was so – she did not – she seemed fairly lucid. I think she seemed too sad because she was so sad.
She has Alzheimer's.
Oh my gosh! Look at this.
It's Alzheimer's. Let me have my moment with the two of them.
On your left.
But yeah.
Shannon, thoughts on this one?
Oh, so excited. Yep. So if they have U.S. agent, they have Zemo and
Zemo. Yeah, Zemo,
true.
Right? Zemo's
and we get
coming
the
back.
Mask.
Right.
And wasn't this announced? Maybe this was a fan service thing that I saw as a headline that someone was going to be playing the daughter of Red Skull.
Yes, Sin. Sin. Yeah,
one of the Mara sisters, right?
Rooney Mara.
Rooney Mara.
Yeah,
oh, wow.
She's
okay.
Sin, which I remember. Because that came out. Ed Brubaker did a great run of Cap. It was right before kind of the MCU took off in 2008,
yeah.
And that was his. He did Winter Soldier. He created the Winter Soldier, brought Sin in, and her face is all screwed up too. And it's
wow.
just like, oh, she's terrifying.
But that's three. That's three potential antagonists
yeah.
that they have. I mean, they're
great antagonists.
Well, and they haven't announced like how many episodes it's
right.
going to be.
Right, right, right.
That to me, like we talk about limited. Like for me, I feel WandaVision will be limited.
Mm-hmm.
Like set episodes, no second season. Winter Soldier and Falcon. I think this could go a while.
Yeah,
it has potential to go a while. I think this is one of those ones that they can really do a lot with.
Well, let's move on to that next.
Yep.
WandaVision. This was pitched as basically a combo of a sitcom because they apparently interspersed clips from the Dick Van Dyke
yeah.
show into the footage from the Marvel films between Wanda or Scarlet Witch and Vision.
Yeah.
So they're saying it's a half MCU adventure, half sitcom. And when you cast Catherine Hahn as
yes,
the nosy neighbor,
yes.
you cast Randall Park as that character from Ant-Man and the Wasp, you're kind of leaning into this sitcom aspect of it all as well. So,
And Kat Dennings
right.
as well.
So,
which is weird. Like, I get how Randall Park would be into it.
Right.
FBI agent. Now, okay.
They got to move her off the
floor.
Now,
there's no S.H.I.E.L.D. anymore, right? They've not recreated S.H.I.E.L.D.
No, there's going to be
I don't know Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't follow that show.
No,
so.
They're going to be what Sam Jackson was at the end of Captain Marvel. The
sword.
Sword.
Okay.
Out in
yes.
out in the universe. That's going to take the place of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay, because they never – I don't follow Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so I can't say. They never rebuilt S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
They're pretty disconnected.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's going to be sword.
For the
kind
best,
of be the over.
Really.
Bearing,
yes,
you know. Okay. Because
yeah.
then I always felt for me, Randall Park, his character of just being an FBI agent just didn't work for me.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yes, he's in the comics, he's a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, and you're just like, well, you don't have S.H.I.E.L.D., so you can't do that.
Yeah.
If he was S.H.I.E.L.D., it would make more sense for him to be in this series.
But you're not a fan of him in general, though. Like, you're not really.
Let me say this. I think he is an actor who, when he shows up, he's hired for what he's known for. And you
sure.
can't fault that.
Sure.
Because that is what he does. Like, it's like Ken Jeong. When you hire him, you know what you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
Randall Park, every time he's into something, it's the same. Like his Dr. Shin in Aquaman was the same as
yeah.
his FBI agent in Ant-Man and Wasp. And they came out in the same year. So you're just kind of like, were they the same year? I think so. Maybe not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. So I'm like, oh, it's the same crazy mm-hmm. kind of I can't get my words out. I'm stumbling. I'm nervous guy. And I'm like, it doesn't work for me.
See, I actually thought he was funny in Ant-Man and Wasp.
You like comedy. You're a comedy guy. You love the comedy stuff. That's your thing.
I liked him. I didn't like him in Aquaman. But the idea that they're – again, populating the world with they're using stuff that's already on the board. I think that's so smart.
Do you think they're going to use Kat Dennings because of with Darcy because she's the astrophysicist?
Yes,
and the whole multiverse and kind of that's the science aspect. Maybe kind of explaining what's happening.
Well, yeah, and it's supposed to lean into Doctor Strange, the next Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
So that's supposed to connect into it, lead directly into the next Doctor Strange. So this makes sense because these are the kind of the outer fringer characters of the MCU. You bring them back, you put them in this thing with Wanda and Vision, who are in their own way kind of the outer fringe of the main Avengers.
Also,
and then Doctor Strange makes sense too because he collects these kind of people in his runs in the comics.
Have they said when this takes place?
No, they haven't said.
Because,
no.
I mean,
right.
we don't have a Vision.
We don't, which
or
is
do
what
they
I think.
Rebuild him.
Well, that's what I think. And that's why I think Kat Dennings is involved in this thing.
They take the stones back to where they originally were.
Right.
Wouldn't they take it back to where Vision had it?
Well, they weren't there at the funeral, so they couldn't be around still.
But
the funeral took Cap went back after the funeral.
Right.
But how much of this is
time travel stuff? How much of this
is going to be them rebuilding him versus this her
in
kind
her
of
head.
Creating
oh,
this?
Oh yeah.
I mean, sure. When we think about it, you know, whole House of M with her losing her mind.
Yeah.
Maybe they're going to that. Maybe Doctor Strange will kind of now be a mentor to her, and we're going to unlock some crazy ass. Like maybe he sees like you are losing reality.
See,
reality's
that's
cracking because of you, woman.
That's what I wonder if she's kind of the antagonist of Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange 2?
Doctor Strange 2.
Oh shit, that would be awesome.
That's what I'm thinking.
Because her, she's and they've even said the Roosters that have said she could take Thanos by herself.
She almost did.
Yeah.
So
I think they're going to go into, like you. She's going to crack. I think she's going to lose her mind.
Yeah.
And it's going to fracture.
And Elizabeth can play that so well. If you've seen her.
She got a lot of flack for the accent stuff, you know. It didn't bother me in the least. I didn't really care.
Well, people want to pick on something.
I agree. I think she's a fantastic, fantastic performer.
Yeah.
You go watch Wind River. I mean, she does a great show.
But River.
In Infinity War, as they're all being dusted, she's the only one that had that look of relief on her face.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I'm done.
Right.
So now.
Because she carries this weight.
Yep.
She's never wanted this.
Right.
So
she's never wanted it. Do we get a Quicksilver back? In this WandaVision?
And I don't know.
That's one episode right there.
Yeah.
Where she brings him back.
Right.
Yeah, it's
Pietro.
I don't know.
All right. All right. Yeah. What's the next one? Let's jump into Moon Knight, can we?
Go for it.
Decades. I remember stumbling upon Moon Knight in the 80s when he was attached to like some – I think it was either a Spider-Man or a Punisher or a Captain America run. Yeah. And I was like just hooked into this mysterious character with the Egyptian thing. I was into like archaeology at the time. So to me, this like spoke on so many levels. And I hate that they compare him to Batman. It's not
– It's a poor man's
– Yeah. To me, it's a flimsy comparison at best because he isn't tortured by this other stuff that Batman is.
I don't even get – comparison other than he's at night and he's got those crescent darts.
Exactly.
Like, is that what you're using because you're saying it's the same thing?
Right.
Like, get the hell out of here.
Well, they're saying also because he's rich, but he's a bounty hunter.
But that's one of his things.
Yeah, that's one of his things, right.
He's a nut job.
Yeah,
he's a full-on nut job.
Yeah, he has different voices talking to him all the time. I think Spectre is a more correct comparison to Moon Knight than Batman because Spectre as well can be conflicted by the human voice and the Spectre voice when he's handing out judgment or when he's pursuing these things.
Better, yeah.
That seems more – and he's got the hood and he's got the white skin. It's all there.
So I don't know a ton about Moon Knight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So are these voices – is it because he's insane or is it the Egyptian god talking to him?
That.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. Plus he's got PTSD.
Yes.
He's such a – like
– there's mental health stuff with
him. And I'll say this. I hope they lean
into
that original.
Yes.
Was it Sienkiewicz?
Yeah, the Sienkiewicz run. Yeah.
Yeah, I hope they go that because recently do you read where he's like Mr. Knight or whatever? He's got the white suit with the hood. I hate that.
Yeah,
I hate it.
Yeah.
I liked – was it Jake Lockley, Mark Spector, and Stephen Grant?
Yeah.
Is it his three personalities?
Those are three personalities, yep.
I love that. But we talked about before is like Bendis and Maliev did the run where he was Mark Spector by himself, but he had Cap, Wolverine, and Spider-Man as his personality.
Right, right.
And it's a 12-issue, easy run.
It's incredible.
Wonderful. So I hope he goes in that – the white hood with the suit doesn't work for me.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I wonder what they're going to, what section or what run they're going to base this series on, because really, Moon Knight is connected to as Mike just said, Captain America, Spider-Man, Punisher. I mean, Punisher's in play.
But also, what he goes into is
he's off the Netflix Marvel
in
TV.
The 70s back when he was like you know Werewolf from Night and stuff.
Right,
he was
right.
Werewolf
Blade. Yeah, Blade is definitely in play.
I remember back as like if any show would have been on Netflix. Part of that would have been the thing. Because people ask me, it's like, well, Mike, what do you think? Do you think they're going to go R-rated? And it's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't
know. Moon Knight would be the one to go.
He is terrifying.
Yeah.
Like, I remember that one scene. It was more of about 10 years ago where – who was it? Finch brought him back.
I forgot
who. But he like hooked the thing in his cheek and he ripped his cheek out. And it's like you need to go hard with that with him. I want the actor to be crazy. I want a Joaquin Phoenix in the role.
Yeah, that would be great.
I don't want a pretty boy just kind of
–
I mean, but I should say this. Jake Gyllenhaal would be great at it because he can be – look at Nightcrawler.
Yeah.
He can be nuts.
That's
I want someone just nuts.
Sienkiewicz wanted Keanu. He tweeted that in 2006.
I saw that. It was a pop because he was talking to Marvel. I was like, okay, I could see
– I could kind of see that.
Maybe.
I still want him to come back and play Constantine again. But I understand that that can happen in the real world. But like
right,
I would love to see that. But this could be an interesting thing for him. But – someone else pointed out he's going to be busy with Matrix 4 and John Wick 4.
I don't
Where's the time
Keanu.
To do Moon Knight? Right, exactly. Hardy would be a blast to see in the role, even though he's doing Venom. There's no way they let him do it, but it would be great to see someone like Hardy in this thing.
Yeah.
And here's a little tidbit for you guys. remember Blade the series in 2006. They had a season, the second season, or 2008, whatever it was.
That was Kirk Sticky Fingers?
Yeah, with Sticky Fingers.
Sticky
from
Fingers.
Slam! Da, da, da. Yeah, they had him. The second season was going to be Moon Knight. They mentioned Mark Spector in the first season.
I think, yeah, they mentioned him.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So it was going to be. So there's been a desperation to find an avenue to create Moon Knight for quite some
time.
It's interesting
because that's a character, a corner of the universe now that we don't have.
Right.
The Netflix is not there. It is. They're not – that's done. There is no Netflix corner.
Right.
I mean, so if we get those characters, they're recast.
Possibly.
Oh, they're recast.
You don't think Bernthal could come back to play Punisher?
I think it's a terrible mistake that they don't.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're coming back. And I don't think they're touching them.
All right.
I agree with you there. I think that's – they're
going to create their Hell's Kitchen through Moon Knight. Not saying it's going to be Hell's Kitchen.
Oh, good point.
But their dark corner of New York will be Moon Knight restarting.
Wow.
And maybe there'll be 10 years down the line, 5 years down the line,
yeah,
we'll get a Daredevil, we'll get a Punisher.
Maybe there'll be mentions of Matt Murdock.
I think those actors are long for this world.
Yeah, that's fair.
But all those characters should be in play because they're
– Yeah. There's so much to explore here. The Egyptian stuff.
Oh,
he's an adventurer. He's a bounty hunter.
That. You talk about you're sick of origin films. I wanted to his origin.
This is
so
different.
Good.
Yeah.
Bushwhacker?
Yeah.
The face. And
Bushwhacker.
I think it's Bushwhacker. I think it is.
It's insane.
It's not Bushwhacker. It's like Bushmaster.
You think it's Bushmaster?
I don't think. Bushwhacker, they were from the WWF.
I think it's Bushwhacker.
That might have been where they found him.
It's got to be Bushmaster. It's not Bushwhacker.
I don't know.
That was the Kiwi tag team.
I'm looking up
tag
right now.
Team
Bushman.
From,
yeah, you're right. Bushman.
Bushman.
Right.
Bushman. Yes, what, Bushman. Raul Bushman. Raul Bushman.
Right,
damn
right,
it.
Right.
I like Bushwhacker better.
He is the oldest nemesis of Bushman. Moon Knight.
Raul Bushman. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. My bad.
Bushwhacker.
It hasn't been. I haven't read Moon Knight in a very long time because I'm not a big fan of what's currently happening with them.
Yeah, I popped out the three ones I've picked up over the last couple of years at Comic-Con because like all the rest of my Moon Knight shit's at the house in Virginia in like boxes.
Yeah.
You know, with huge tape around it. So my mom doesn't throw it the fuck away. All right. This is exciting. And, you know, I don't know much more to add. Until there's details in casting and what run they're going to follow, then I'm reserving my excitement until then to get into more deeper, nerdy detail about it. All right. What was it? She-Hulk.
She-Hulk.
We got ourselves She-Hulk.
Yes, sir.
Jennifer Walters, right?
Jennifer
Walters. So excited about that one. One, the idea that we're probably going to get Mark Ruffalo's Hulk in another medium.
I don't know. I don't know because
I think
they're cousins.
I think he'd do it.
They're cousins.
They are cousins.
It's their cousins.
In the origin source, she becomes She-Hulk
through his
blood transfusion with David.
Yeah. He has to be in it.
Or Bruce.
Hulk is at the end of Endgame crippled with
his arm.
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, we could.
Yeah.
He could be a big part of it. She-Hulk, what I'm hoping, I was thinking on the drive here is like, because, you know, Ruffalo is on set doing the things, but I think with her, you get the actress, you don't go full CGI, you do the whole kind of
some forced perspective
just
stuff.
A little bit bigger, you know, because you don't need it, because everyone's like, you want a big actress. It's like, no, you don't. It's like, just like, as of all the casting they have not announced for these films, like Moon Knight, like, this is the only show I have, I want Paula Patton.
Ooh,
Paula Patton for her.
For Jennifer
Walters, I think she would be fun.
Interesting.
I think Boss Logic actually did a poster.
Wow.
Either before, and he said, "Hey, this was from years ago." But
okay.
I saw it. And I'm like, I love Paula Patton. I think ever since Mission Impossible: Ghost Protocol, she hasn't really been able to shine in anything. I think she would be great at it.
Yeah.
I think she looks great. But it's a great series. It's a great idea for a series.
She hooks attached to Fantastic Four a lot.
Yeah.
So there's possibilities there.
Yeah. To drop Sue Storm in.
Yeah. Some kind of reference. Reed Rich something. Obviously, she's part of Avengers as well and S.H.I.E.L.D. and Defenders.
And I would think that this is going to be their shot at like a legal show.
I was going to say, she's an attorney, right?
She's an attorney,
The run that came out, I want to say it's like 3 or 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago at this point, was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's all – I think she was paired up with Hellcat.
Oh, yeah.
Patsy Walker. So it's like – the legal. So this is their chance to do a legal show.
Yeah.
A legal drama. But with superheroes.
But you could also do a little bit of a mini Defenders here if you keep it ground-based. Moon Knight, She-Hulk.
But at one point, Strange was a member of the Defenders.
Yes,
The originals was Hulk. Was it Hulk, Strange, Silver Surfer, and Namor?
Yeah.
So.
Well, Namor is being worked on.
I know.
Silver Surfer's being worked on. So there's possibilities here all over the place for it. But it's exciting because she's got a lot of stories to tell and interesting stuff to explore
about it,
with her.
I see her interacting with Strange. That would be great.
Yeah.
The two of them have a good dynamic, and I think that would be a great Yeah.
I wonder who you cast, though. That's the thing at the end of the day.
Or what's her name? Paul Patton.
Some people throw out Gina Carano.
See, that to me, when I hear that casting like that, I'm like, oh, who? What actress is a big muscle girl? Wonder Woman. I was like, Gina Carano. It's like, no. It's like, you can do so. Look at Mark Ruffalo, what they did. It's like, you can augment your actress.
Yeah.
You can get a short actress and just you augment because it's the gamma radiation. You grow and sure. You just. CGI has gotten so good. They're so good with it. Just stretch the actor out.
If she hadn't been in Iron Man 3, I would say Rebecca Hall.
Oh, Rebecca Hall could be interesting.
This table right here, I think that's about the much personality as Rebecca Hall.
Whoa! Oh!
I'm sorry.
Did you not see the town? She was great in the town.
Yeah, no.
All right.
I don't want to say Emily Blunt. No, Paula Patton is my She-Hulk.
Emily Blunt is Sue Storm.
I don't say no to that.
With John Krasinski.
Yeah, I don't say no to either of those.
Some people have kicked around the idea of...
I love Zac Efron as Johnny Storm. I love that. I think he's such a good
actor.
I think he's so underrated because he's so good looking. I think he would be a great Johnny Storm.
Some people have pitched Eliza Dushku. She does the voice.
You need a professional. Like, I don't mean professional actors. You need someone that has a professional air about them. She
right, like Rebecca Hall,
Paul Patton.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see how they make it work. And the other one is Miss Marvel that dropped in Kamala Khan. Her stuff, guy. I try really hard not to say Kamala Harris. Kamala Khan, I try really hard.
Yeah,
my streams get confused
Kamala
sometimes.
Harris as Jennifer Walters.
I'd accept that.
It's a good thing that Vogel's not here because I just don't get this character. But on the other hand, it's not a character for me. It was never meant for me. It was never meant. Yeah. I'm the white guy in comics and 50 million characters are for me.
Right.
And I've had them for decades. So these are characters that people – like it's Miles Morales. People have embraced him so wonderfully. There are kids nowadays that don't know – they don't care about Peter Parker.
Right.
They know Miles Morales. And so for Captain Marvel, which I grew up with, and I grew up with, the blonde-haired guy.
Right.
There's women that got it, and now it's kids that get it. So I was like, I love it. It's just – but it's like the stretchy powers, but she's got Captain Marvel's name. And, and Captain Marvel never had stretchy powers. And I'm like – But Vogel,
because she was inspired by. She always liked
that. And that's
Marvel.
Why Vogel is the forefront of championing stuff like that because he knows about it and I don't know about it. So it's like,
I mean, I watched some of the Avengers animated series and they had a run where she popped in for a few episodes. And her power, they're weird. I mean, it's not just stretchy, but she also has like this she can make her hand super big.
I'm like, okay, is she stretchy or is it just like this giant fly swatter hand?
Yeah.
And then her suit is just kind of like a dress with a sash. I'm like, is it a costume or is it just clothes she found it in? To mimic. I don't know what would a kid do?
I mean,
you're 100% right. And I don't read it, so I cannot speak about it. Like, I can't have an opinion on it.
It'll be interesting to see what they do with her origin because in the comics, she's an Inhuman.
Yeah.
I mean,
she got the Tarragon mists. And,
something like that. And so obviously they're not going to.
Boy, when they missed. Yeah.
They're probably not going to go that route, but also technically Wanda's not a mutant. Like she got her powers from the Mind Stone.
That's true. She's the first Muslim character to lead her own comics title. She's Pakistani American living in a religious family in New Jersey, with a religious family in New Jersey while trying to find her own way has been the major. And she's like fourth iteration.
She's the fourth.
Because Carol Danvers was the original Ms. Marvel, and then it went different iterations until it got to Kamala.
When you said Pakistani, is that term – because when I hear it's like – I saw people online like finally a brown superhero.
Right.
And that's not me saying. This was on Twitter people of that nationality. Is that what the Pakistani – like
– it depends on where you're looking because
– Because I don't know and I'm
in
not
In Europe,
say
it's Asian. About. Like I had Himesh Patel on for the deep cut.
Uh-huh.
He's I think Pakistani. And it's Asian. They're called Asian in Europe.
Okay,
but here it's a different right. You delineate by country.
And this was a girl who was of the ethnicity that Kamala was, and she's like finally a brown superhero.
Yeah.
Like, if that's
right,
I'm not gonna. I don't know.
But I respect that. I respect it, but I keep waiting for the motherfucking Latina superhero, the actual brown superhero.
Jessica Cruz. Jessica Cruz. Green Lantern. Jessica Cruz.
Yeah. Well, no, someone that doesn't take over someone else's mantle,
Dude. You
something
and I,
original.
Being two different ethnicities, we see eye to eye on that.
Yeah.
It's not. Don't just redo a superhero with a palette swap.
Yeah.
Create a new one.
That's frustrating to me on so many levels.
100%.
Like the Miles Morales thing works for Spider-Man. It's great. It's fantastic. He's his own Spider-Man. I get it, but he's still Spider-Man. Ted Kord, homie took over Ted Blue Beetle. I get
Jaime
it,
Reyes.
But
yep.
he's still
you're 100%
Ted Korsing.
Right.
So I need something original. I don't know why no one's writing anything original that's being worked into the Marvel universe or the MCU. It's frustrating as hell because we are a large part of this goddamn population and a large part of the people that go see these movies over and over and over again.
I will stand on that hill with you forever. I'm sick of the let's just take a character that's established and make it a different race.
Yeah.
No, create a new character. Yeah. But why aren't they being created? I have no answers for that.
My friend online, she's a great writer. She said like, oh, thanks. Hey, slow down on the gendered parody here. Looking at the list of all the people going to voice over What If, which is our next
thing. Yes,
and it was three girls and like all these men. And I almost chimed in and said, yeah, show me the Latino on that list. You know, if you want to start talking about something, at least white women get a shot at stuff. Latinos don't even get a shot at stuff. So that's going to – I hope that gets repaired down the road. If not, I may just fucking write it. Like I'm at that point where – and I've never read a comic book. I don't even know what – but like I'm at that point where I'm angry and I was like, let's – it's – someone's got to do it. There's got to be somebody trying to create this.
You could base him off of your days of loving archaeology.
There we go.
When you said that, I see you in a pith helmet.
That is a topic for another day.
With a small rock hammer.
I am the chisel.
Yo soy el chisel. Nope.
There's El Dorado.
El Dorado. Oh, God.
El Dorado.
That was the worst. With the red cape. That was the worst.
Like a bullfighter with that thing.
Yeah.
Stereotype
as fuck. All right. So anything more on the What If stuff? I know we talked about it earlier. We touched on the Captain Britain stuff. Is there anything else that excited you? Star-Lord's playing someone else. Captain America gets killed before he takes a super serum.
Oh, we're talking What If right now?
Yeah. Because Ms. Marvel, I don't know so much. We're excited about it. We'll see where it goes.
We don't know anything about it. What if I even remember when it first was announced? I was like, "Oh my gosh, that is going to be amazing!" Because I thought it was going to do live action.
Yeah,
you can't do live action with that. It's a different cast set.
Oh yeah,
there's no established sets. You'd
too
be
expensive.
Destroying thing every episode.
Right.
But then it's like, well, if you're going to do it, animated is the way to go. So I was like, those are just going to be fun. I'm sure those are going to be ones like some episodes I'll love and other ones I'll be like, nah, it's boring.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't involve characters that I want to see and stuff. So.
Well, and it's also a show that can keep going.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's limitless. Yeah. It's limitless with what they can do.
And it's a shit ton of A-list talent on that wall when they put all the headshots up of the people going to voice over stuff. And what if Natalie Portman was one of those voices. Jane Foster's going to be part of this thing.
Okay.
So it's like there's so much that all these characters are involved in here that have done that are going to be in this. So to me, it excites me to see what doors we're going to open up with What If and how exciting that'll be.
Yeah.
You know, because you see Joker movie doing that. That's essentially a What If movie
right. In
the DC universe. This is another way to approach that.
Yeah.
And we'll see how that plays out. All right. Black Panther 2 got announced today.
Yeah. Memorial Day 2022, I believe.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Two and a half years away still.
Yeah. Yeah. So poor Chadwick's got to walk back in and be doing this for another few years.
Oh, long arms there.
Yeah. I know.
Lord.
Is that terrible CG? Was that terrible CG? Is that what you're referencing?
Arms.
Those are his really arms.
Because I talked our good friend Eric Norris. He's got long arms. And he noticed it. He's like, oh, he's got arms like I do. When he came through that portal, I'm like, his arms are down at his knees.
Yeah, he's scratching his calves.
And I think the costume doesn't do him any justice.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I'm supposed to a Civil War where they had like
– he's a little bulkier.
Shoulders. You can tell they put a big muscle suit in that thing. Whereas in the Black Panther suit, it looks like it's just a skin-tight leotard.
Yeah.
I'm like – you need to go back to the original one. You got to put some more muscle on that guy. Because we talked about this. He's not a big guy, Chadwick Boseman. He's not a very big muscular guy. And, man, we came through that portal. You're like, woo, man.
Yeah.
He's lean.
He's lean.
And, I think he's only like 5'9".
That's
right?
What I'm saying.
Like, he's not tall either.
Your suits can have like – I mean – put some traps in there.
Yeah.
Delts. Build that thing up. It's going to make your arms look bigger. Or not as long. Then they talk about Eternals. They had the whole cast on stage.
Yes.
And they had the concept art behind them of who they are playing. And I have to say this. So Gemma Chan is in this. It's Circe.
Yeah.
I'm going to go on. Like, I'm not a fan of this. It's like she's in the MCU as a role.
I'm with you. I think they wasted her.
Yeah. And I'll say this. I think watching her, I was like, oh. And I'm seeing just after – this is not having seen Endgame yet. I was like Captain Marvel watching the movie. I was like, I want to Gemma Chan as Carol Danvers.
Yeah.
She had – with the little screen time she had, she was like, I like her.
Yeah.
And I think – and now as an actor, you know, being – you know, and this is a – well, there's thousands of other actresses that could have been given a role in the MCU. You reused a woman. But on the other hand, I was like, someone at Marvel's like, we love her.
Right.
Yeah. We didn't use her enough.
Is it Gemma? Is it a hard G?
Gemma, I think. Gemma,
oh, really?
Gemma Chan.
Oh.
I believe so. And I enjoy the actress, and I'm glad she got another shot. But I'm also like, well, that took away from another actress that could have been part of this world.
Yeah, but I mean,
but we're never going to see her again in Captain Marvel 2.
Right.
So.
And also, Asian actress getting another shot at a big thing. It's kind of a positive.
Like, but on the other hand, how many other Asian actresses could have been given the shot?
How were they?
Could have had two
totally
instead of just one.
Totally fair. But were they looking at another Asian actress?
You know,
that's
knows,
the next.
Who knows? But
you know,
I think this was a fan of people at Marvel. Like, we love her.
Yeah.
We didn't use. Like, I want to work with her again.
Right.
So. And as me as a fan watching the movies, I really liked her. So clearly, I'm torn on it. But I don't know. This movie's the weird one for me.
It's a mystery.
This is going to be the Guardians of the Galaxy for me, where I'm like, I had nothing attached to Guardians. And I came out of that going, oh, my God, was that amazing. That is so much fun.
Right.
I don't think it's going to be one of those fun movies. But seeing the cast, like, I love what's his name. Robert Madden? Robert Madden, right?
Richard Madden.
The bodyguard.
Yeah.
I love him.
Right.
And see him in that film.
Harrington is going to be in this as well now. They just announced
Black Knight.
Yeah, it's Black Knight. So you've got the brothers coming back. Stark brothers coming back.
Yeah. Just seeing that cast.
Rolling
and
up
the
in
diversity
there.
In that cast.
True.
Well,
very
like
true.
Watching, looking at the Kumail Nanjiani in that costume.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, this guy was a chubby comedian a few years ago. Now he's gotten all lean. Yeah,
same thing with Pratt. Pratt was a doughy boy, a doughboy. And look at him now. I mean, that's incredible.
You know.
People, get in shape. I hate to break it to you. It's the truth of Hollywood.
I don't think there is a character in the MCU so far that we've seen on screen where you're just kind of like, oh, they didn't knock it out of the park with the design.
Yeah.
Their design department, and they know what they're doing with that
stuff. I agree. All right, we're at the hour mark. We should wrap up. I know you guys got to get to work. One last question. Do you think the Sony Marvel thing will get worked out? Do you think Tom Holland comes back to the MCU or not?
I had heard that it did.
It did get worked out?
But it was one article.
Okay.
And that I think the percentage they settled on was 30.
Okay. 30's fair.
And that he was signing on for like – two more movies or three more movies, but I have no idea if this is correct.
Because Tom Holland did not announce it. He just said, I love you 3000 and walked off the stage.
I
don't know what that means.
I don't think it gets worked out.
You don't?
I think Sony got balls after Venom and Spider-Verse.
Yeah, they're feeling themselves.
And on the other hand, there's a lot of talk. It's like, you know what? Good for sticking it to Disney.
Okay.
Good for, like, you know, hey, you don't get to bully. You don't get to take everything.
Mm.
This is ours.
All right.
You know, we, you know, and let's say, look at smart business. Do you want 50% of $1 billion or do you want 100% of $700 million?
Yeah, but it's also you look at the Amazing Spider-Man movies, that's the law of diminishing returns.
Right.
Because eventually that runs out.
That's because they weren't good films.
Right. they have a history under the Sony banner.
Look into the Spider-Verse.
Right, but that's like, an animated film. That was separate people. They brought in Lord
and
Miller.
Shoe in all the trying to make the Sinister Six out of one movie.
Right,
it's
right.
all this crap
but
and
you
the
know
untold
they're
story
going
of
to. Because Tom Rothman is there and he did the same thing with the X-Men
universe and drug it into the ground. I'm not arguing they don't know what they're doing. They just – now they have a new chance to do it over again.
Yeah.
But this will be the third time, and this is history repeating itself. I mean, Venom in Spider-Man 3 is because Sony said, we want Venom in it. Sam Raimi didn't want him. You see how that turned out. And then the whole Amazing Spider-Man sort of debacle because of like, well, we have to do something because otherwise we're going to lose the rights.
Yeah.
But look at Venom, which – I'm still dumbfounded how that movie made.
Me too.
But they were like, did they bring back Ruben Fleischer for the sequel? He didn't come back.
Right.
So they knew. They like, oh, we dodged a bullet. We got lucky. We made money. We can't be doing that
right.
again.
But this could be a Bumblebee situation where you step in with Circus and he makes half of what the first Venom made.
That could be terrible as well for them.
Yeah, I know. And I agree.
But Bumblebee's a wonderful film.
Yeah, sure it is. Not in the bank account, but it sure is a wonderful film to look at.
Yeah.
That's what these studios are about, money.
I know, man.
That's a scary thing. But I push back. I hear what you're saying and totally respect that point of view. I think Disney has a right to ask for as much as possible because I took your dead franchise and I made $1 billion out of your dead franchise because no one wanted to see this thing again. All the odds were against us rebooting Spider-Man in our universe, and we knocked it out of the park with the casting, with both of the films, with the stories, with the characters, the way we changed the origin story around.
Sure.
We did a good job. So give me a little more of the piece of the pie. I proved to you what I can do with your character.
And they're not just giving it to them. They're like, we're going to share in the cost.
Well, exactly, sharing the cost.
But on the other hand, and again,
which frustrates
people
Sony,
come at me all the time
direction.
With – they come at me all the time with, well, it's a company. They deserve to make as much money as they can. I get it.
Right.
Were you really hurting because you're only getting 5%? Were you hurting? But guys, were you like, Jesus, the stock, everyone's upset? No, you're not hurting.
It's business.
And it's business. And I get that. But it's where greed comes into it. And we've talked and it filters into my life. I was like, it comes to a point where it's like, you got enough money.
Yeah.
You got enough.
But this, maybe this
and
stuff.
I'm wrong. I mean, I'm on my own on that. I know.
No, you're not. I think a lot of people feel the way you do. I'm just saying there might have been stuff going on behind the scenes where Disney felt like they wanted more creative direction because Sony was pushing. And maybe they were tired of dealing with Sony pushing to include a Venom when they don't need to do something like this.
Yeah.
Or Sinister Six. And they were like, no, just let
and
us,
I don't think, I think Feige's getting unfairly looped into this.
Oh,
I don't think he's the guy going, I want more money.
It pissed me off that the first two sentences of their statement was it going after Feige saying he might be overwhelmed by too many characters.
No.
There's the last thing Feige is overwhelmed
it's
by too
not
many
him.
Characters.
It's not him dealing with that. He's not going, I want more money.
Right. You guys can't handle four characters in a Spider-Man movie. He's handling 3,500 in fucking universe. So no
and
offense.
And the whole cancel Sony. I was like, oh, yeah. God, stop.
Yeah.
Just.
Yeah.
It was interesting to see. I'm going to say this real quick.
Yeah.
To see little Marvel fans become a little DC headed.
Don't start that shit. Don't start that shit on the show.
You almost got yourselves a bring back the Snyder cut on some Marvels over there with, you know, canceling Spider-Man and canceling Sony and stuff. I was like, oh, they wanted to storm Sony. They were putting this thing to storm Sony. I was like, oh, okay.
That was ridiculous.
Well, here we go, guys. This is this what it's
be
like
one
now.
Person out there with the OA. All right, you gotta go. All right, Shannon, where can they find you, my man?
Yeah, if you would like to follow us on social media, on Twitter, it's @geek_buddies. On Instagram, @the_geek_buddies. If you'd like to follow me on Twitter, it's @Shannon_McClung. On Instagram, @ShannonTheGeekBuddy.
And you're doing great on that Instagram, my God.
He's on Instagram. Look at that.
I know. I don't know who you're talking to, but you're doing a great job. Take over mine. Kalinowski, where can they find you?
@MikeKalinowski, guys. Twitter, Instagram, that's where I'm at. @MikeKalinowski.
And if you haven't watched the live stream.
I think it's available for 1 week and then Christian is, I don't know what he's going to do with it after that. It might go, I think it's going to wait another week. I don't know. Come on, guys. It's the Shire Wolves.
Yeah.
If you know me, you know the Shire Wolves. Just buy it.
It's a hell of a match. One of the best matches of the year, bar none.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a wonderful thing to be a part of.
Yeah, absolutely agreed. You can follow me @TheRokaSays on Twitter and on Instagram. Thanks, everybody. Remember to like and share this and share with people, retweet it, whatever. And also go down there and put some more reviews on there. I see our reviews have kind of dried up over the last month or so. Go down there and put some reviews on iTunes. Put some scores on there, 5 stars, 4 stars, whatever you feel. Like, put your actual honest feelings about as you discover this show. Give us some reviews. Really helps us to be seen more and more. This is a little engine that could type of podcast, and we're pushing really hard to make it happen. So thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you next time on
The Geek Buddies. Hey!
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.